thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
From Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee, where sometimes on Sundays we give out free pot samples, this is the Journey Now Roundtable.
Goodness.
Oh my gosh.
Winner, you are so excited about that. I don't know how long.
When did that come into your brain, Grant?
The first moment you talked about it, but this is not what you think. We can explain. Welcome everybody again. And thanks for hanging out with us. My name's Grant.
And we're here to dispense. We're here to dispense, right? Medicinal advice is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yes.
So, Mike, let's actually take a step back and we'll introduce everybody who's with us because we got to get out of the situation.
Yep. I'm Michael Cannabis Erie.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm Susie Lind.
That's Susie THC Lind.
What's mine?
Huh?
What's mine?
Tim Mary Jane Timmons.
I like that. Maybe just Mary J.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you got the hip hop.
TMJT.
Wow.
So Mike,
you started this.
You totally did, Grant. You've got
you did. Admit, you yeah. did.
So you got to get us out of it. So for those who weren't in the room or online,
yep.
Can you explain the relationship that you tried to draw last Sunday between Jesus and pot, or at least pottery?
Yes. Yes. So we were talking about shalom. And for me, I've always just heard that translated peace, and it certainly includes that, but there's a concept of wholeness or completeness, and it's actually, shalom is used of walls that don't have any pieces missing, or flocks that aren't missing sheep, or stones that don't have to be cut in order to fit. And so we were using a pot, one of those ceramic pots, to picture shalom. And then we used a hammer. I used a hammer to smash the pot and hence spread the pottery all over the place to kind of picture what it is. So one of my favorite theologians calls sin the culpable violation or disturbance or vandalism of shalom. And so that was the pottery reference that Mr. Opperman turned into something highly illegal. And
in some states,
especially in Tennessee, yes. So,
is it illegal in Tennessee?
It is.
Yes. What, smashing pottery? Yes.
Well, yeah. No one told me about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always been a big fan of smashing pumpkins, but that's because I'm a child of the '90s. Let's go.
You channeled your inner Carrot Top.
Was it Carrot Top or Gallagher? Gallagher.
Oh, Gallagher was the guy with the watermelon. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean, I thought the metaphor was really beautiful because at the end, yes, we took communion, but we also each got a piece of pottery to take with us. Mm-hmm. So, and to be a reminder through the week, but even though that's a reminder to be a peacemaker, now that that's in everybody's pockets and going through the laundry and who knows what else, that pot is never going to get put back together without something supernatural happening.
Yeah, I'll preach.
So I wanted to ask you guys, on Sunday, we were talking about the idea of broken shalom in the world. But especially for the people who came at 11:30, you also talked a little bit more about shalom with others and shalom with self. So can one of you guys talk about what that looks like at an individual level rather than at that cosmic Garden of Eden and all of that?
Well, I'll just jump in. What I leaned into with the 10,000 minutes this week was the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking.
Yes.
I loved that distinction. And it is such a different story. And the second, peacemaking is shalom. Like that really is bearing shalom to the world and to everybody that you come in contact with. And peacekeeping is almost, I just kept thinking of the government, you know, having the mm-hmm. peace, you know, the keeping the peace, you know, things. And those words are really throwing me. But it was just like, it's just, you know, it's just putting band-aids over things. That's just like, oh, don't, you know, we're avoiding conflict instead of actually restoring things and joining Jesus in the restoration of things. So I have a few relationships that I'm wanting to actually do that with. And that was is part of my practice this week, is actually leaning into some of those relationships.
That is awesome, like, because I had that in my notes of questions to ask, you know, if we're not trying to just keep the peace, and goodness knows we're all trying to just keep the peace in so many ways right now, yeah, in our families and the world and all that, how do you actually be a peacemaker? Like some real 10,000 minutes practices. What do I do? Because I think for a lot of people, that just flies by and it sounds great. Put it on a Hallmark card, mail it. But how do I do that?
I think for me, something I've had to put in practice lately, and I know it sounds super cheesy, but it's true. And that's really making sure that I'm going to the source of peace first. I don't want to say not just dealing with my own peace first, because that really makes this all sound terribly individualistic, but like, I've had, like, for example, like, you know, choosing to take a step back from certain discussions, not for the sake of keeping peace, but for the sake of being sure that I can position myself to make peace at the appropriate time and place, just because there's so much noise right now in all around us and in everything that's happening in the world. And so my friend Christy McClelland, she said something all year long that's really been very inspiring to me, and that she made a promise to herself and to God at the beginning of 2020 that she was not going to be in the news or in social media more than she was in the Word, and that she would start off every day giving her first words to Jesus and letting the first words she hear come from him, and that that's really saved her sanity in a lot of this year. And I have not done that well myself. And so, you know, for me, it's been really practicing going to the actual source of peace rather than all these, you know, band-aids for peace that are offered to us on a daily basis. But it's really hard.
That's awesome. And I want to go back to something you said sort of early on in that answer, which is you said choosing not to engage. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, what I heard immediately was that you're valuing the relationship more than mm-hmm. fixing somebody, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, it's really, like, especially right now, right? For example, with everything being politicized and conspiracy theories galore everywhere. You know, so I had a friend tell me that she went on her parents' Facebook page, like she does to her kids, to go look and see what they were listening to and following and all that, to see where they were coming from before she goes to see them for the holidays. And she was appalled at what she saw on her parents' social media. And so, you know, like it's really easy to make up your mind about a person and how you feel about a person based on what their screen courage looks like, right? Because people will say things and post things and comment on things that they would never do to a person in real life that they actually love. Like they would never say something face to face to somebody like that, which may or may not be a good thing, because which part's true, right?
But is that a term? Is screen courage?
Yes, it's a good term.
I love that. Yeah. But I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's sort of better not to know in so many ways. And yeah, completeness can be completeness or wholeness or relationship mm-hmm. can be the enemy of knowledge in so many ways.
Yeah. So for me, I found myself actually having unloving thoughts about people that I would typically love by engaging in some of that stuff. And I don't want to be like that. So
yeah, and I mean, in a way, that's sort of the biblical. That, I mean, that's our relationship with God too, right? Is that He chooses not to see the sin. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the whole idea with the covering. He chooses not to see the sin and instead to see us as we are justified in Jesus.
Yeah. So, and I don't want it to be confused with looking away, you know, at something.
Right.
Cause I think you can look away and turn a blind eye to something for sure. But that's not what I mean. I just mean like, I want to make sure that I'm positioned to be a peacemaker in actual relationships with people and to live as a peacemaker, even with people I don't have conflict with, but I want to live as a peacemaker and be a purveyor of peace, like Mike said over the weekend so beautifully. And so for me, that means I have to, you know, to use the term, guard my heart against the things that can come in there and prevent that from happening. Cause I mean, Jesus loves everybody unconditionally and His mercies are new every morning. Mine, however, are not.
I think this is where for me, why I get so passionate about the 10,000 minute stuff is that if 10,000 minutes is merely just the joining of Jesus mm-hmm. in all things,
yeah,
it's joining Him in His restoration of all things. And so I'm thinking about some of the conversations that I'm going to have this week.
Yeah.
And it's not just me going in with like, you know what, bring peace to this relationship. It's, I think He's about that. And so it's joining Him in that. And so it's in the car. And I use that all the time when I'm cut off. It's like, well, I could join Jesus in this moment, or I could just try to mm-hmm. be a peacemaker in this situation. And I just don't do well with that. Or right. in my marriage, if there's a moment when Hillary does something and whatever, I just want to, I'm just going to try to keep peace, but that's peacekeeping versus peacemaking. When I'm joining Shalom, Jesus, it just is changing things. And I do that, you know, a part of the time. And I, this week would like to join Jesus a little bit more of the time than I normally do.
The
idea of peacemaking.
So that's really interesting because, I was going to ask the 2020 question, which is, you know, we talk about joining Jesus and trying to achieve wholeness and restoration and shalom, but it's so hard to participate in that when all you see is more broken pieces around you mm-hmm. continuously. And regardless of what efforts are made, there's more pieces all the time because Mike just does not stop hammering. He's going to make more pieces.
Keep hammering.
So
it's more true than you know. It's true individually, yes.
So is that sort of the key to not have to be the one who's sort of picking up pieces and to not have to see restoration happening, but to experience it through Jesus instead? I'm stumping the panel. They're all looking at me very blankly.
I'm looking at you, Mike.
Well, I have a whole bunch of thoughts. One is, our job is never to usher in the kingdom. Our job is to partner with God in His ushering in the kingdom. And that's why even as Jesus walked the earth, He didn't heal everybody. He didn't raise everybody from the dead. He didn't touch every leper, which is fascinating. He gave those as signposts, but those were not norms. I find that oddly liberating that, part of the outworking of shalom in my life is doing the bits that I can. And the downside of social media, which is, I think what Susie's saying, part of what she's saying is, being aware of brokenness to the point where it's so overwhelming you don't know what to do when literally opportunities for shalom sit right next to us in the midst of our families in conversations about ourselves. I mean, I think one of the most important components of peacemaking is telling the truth. Peacekeeping is avoiding, right? Avoiding conflict. Peacemaking is rushing into conflict and tension and ambiguity and speaking what's true. And so we have to start there. Now, the timing of all of this, and Susie, you gave a great example of, listen, it's not the time for this always, but there may come a time for this. And that's where it starts. Now, Grant, back to your specific question. Reframe it just a second for me, because I think I got lost.
You answered my question perfectly. I mean, you just said it a lot better than I did.
Timmons? Yes. Yeah. No question. Timmons and English are having a tough time today. That's all there is to it.
Peace eating.
Keeping peace.
But I mean, I know in my life that peacemaking for me feels like listening and being and knowing people rather than trying to fix a situation. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I mean, that's always sort of the default mode, especially if you can fix a lot of situations. That's what you want to do. And it's exactly the thing not to do, because even when you have somebody, to Susie's point, that you deeply disagree with, it's a lot harder to be anti them when you understand their experience and their background and their reasons for everything that they're feeling and thinking.
Totally. And that's why Jesus is so clear. There are times to deal with the speck of dust in somebody else's eye. There are absolute times when that needs to happen, but you only do that after you've dealt with the log in your own first, right? So that's why shalom, as it relates to myself and other people, is the prerequisite of shaloming anywhere else. You know what I mean? And so I think Susie was absolutely onto something, even though it can be made into a trite cliche, when she talks about, there has to be a sense that our own wounds are bound up, or at least in the process of that, the truth is being spoken to us and about us. And then we're able to operate in the world with grace. And you know, even when we have those conversations, because I think there are times and places where you do more than just listen, but those are rare, and only after you've been confronted by the grace and truth of Jesus about yourself do we ever gently enter into someone else. And you know, and even then, kindness and respect sort of lead the way.
That's terrific. So you're all terrific. So I'm going to leave it there on this note of affirmation.
You look great today, Grant.
Thank you.
Grant has worn a hat in a couple of our Zoom meetings, and it's thrown us all off. Sometimes he has glasses. Sometimes he doesn't have glasses. Sometimes he has a hat. Sometimes he doesn't have a hat. And ladies and gentlemen, Grant really is a man of mystery. We fully expect that there somewhere is a dossier about Grant and his exploits, bringing peace to the earth, literally. Yeah. So we're excited for that day.
Amen. I'm glad you're beginning to know me better. So that's helpful. That is 15 minutes, everybody, that quickly went to pot. So sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, none of you are getting your time back, but not sorry if you ended up enjoying it. Hey, starting this week, we are on Spotify. Can you believe it? So check us out there.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty much just us and Joe Rogan, so we should be totally easy to find.
Yeah.
On there or Apple iTunes, the JourneyTN.com website, or wherever you find your podcasts. If you are picking up the pieces that we are putting down, let us know.
Wow.
You can contact me at grant@journeytn.com.
Grant, you have brought shalom to my heart today. Yes.
A pot man.
I shalom you. And a short version of shalom is the word stan. So I stan you, Grant, because of shalom.
So you could also give us a rating. You could share the podcast. You could go old school. You could write a review. But let's get Journey Now up all over the world and be part of bringing Mike's definition of shalom to listeners all over the internet. So thanks again, everyone. Be sure to join us again on Friday. Until then,
Shalom.
See you later, everyone. Shalom.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.